each of us, there burns the fury of a warrior. In every generation, a few are chosen to prove it.
One of you three will decide the outcome of the tournament.
Three strangers will travel to the mystical realm of Outworld to defend our people against Shang Tsung.
You will die.
And his forces of darkness. In an ancient tournament, one more victory.
Your soul is mine.
And our world is theirs.
It has begun.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever it is, wherever you are. My name is Malachi J. Matthews, this is Supertap Film Club, and we're back to our regular schedule. We're back from the Thunderdome. I'm joined, as always, by Hollywood Fletch and Magic Mark. How's it going, Hollywood Fletch?
Super. I feel really super and really good, and there's no reason why I wouldn't.
Yeah, because everything's fine. Because everything's fine. How are you doing, Mark? Is everything fine?
I agree with Hollywood Fletch. It is a new year, new me, positivity, etc.
Yeah. So, well, everything's fine, is what we're saying then.
Yes.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine?
Everything's fine. Everything's fine, guys.
Everything is fine.
Okay. How's your week at work been, Fletch?
Terrible.
Terrible?
I mean, fine. Fine.
What?
It's been fine.
Why? What's happened this week?
Nothing.
Not that you can't give out trade secrets.
I can't give.
Because you literally, that is your job, isn't it? Keeping things secure.
What, is he a fucking spy?
Yes.
Basically,
corporate espionage.
Oh, well done, Mark. Now that's us both getting
ruined it.
Shot with silencers under pillows in the middle of the night. Gone. So, what's been troubling you? Can you talk about it? I thought you wanted to say something about having a shit time at work, that's all.
No.
Okay.
I've just been on the night shifts.
Just been on the nights?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I've just spent all night on Twitter.
I know, which you shouldn't have done, because we're watching wrestling this afternoon. After you moaned at me for watching No Peace Underground live on Friday night, text me at 4 in the morning, what the fuck are you doing watching this wrestling when you said you were going to save it? I was like, sorry, mate. I'll save the other one. I'll save the one that was on last night for today, for when we get together to record. And he's seen the bloody results!
That's not very nice.
Well, he hasn't told me. It's fine.
Well, no, because I follow Akira in particular.
Don't we all? That's what it's all about.
I actually watched some wrestling for the first time in fucking ages the other day.
What did you watch?
I watched the Charles Crowley cinematic thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it was good.
That was brilliant.
It was very good.
Lots of fun.
Yeah, we watched it and thoroughly enjoyed it. There was even a Scanners-style head explosion in it.
There was.
So, love heart.
Oh, all the love hearts.
But yeah, it was good. And for me, I got a little bit emotional. It was nice to see some familiar faces that I hadn't seen. Nobody's had a wrestling gig for a while, but I haven't actually worked with a lot of those people for about 2 or 3 years now. So it was nice to see some old friends on the TV.
Indeed.
Killing each
it's
other.
It's on YouTube for free if people want to, like, check it out. Maybe we can put it on the socials if we remember.
Yeah, I would thoroughly recommend. If you like watching people's heads explode and you like wrestling and stupid films, then you're in for a treat, because that's what it is. It's really good.
It's good.
Very good. This week, guys, we're doing Fletcher's pick. Fletcher, what did you pick to do this week on Super Tat Film Club? The first film of 2021.
Did I pick this?
You did pick this, yeah. Yeah, what was it? Can you remember what it was?
Yes.
Yes.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. You're never
Mortal
gonna.
Mortal Kombat!
Mortal Kombat!
Heading into our second year of the show, and every week you do that. You can't remember what it is.
What?
So?
I'm sorry, I'm a busy man. I do lots of different things.
Yeah, voodoo, divot boxes, sending me. I got a text this morning, Mark, that said that was a screenshot of Zach Bagans talking about his haunted museum being haunted by a divot box. Got a text from Fletch with that this morning, screenshot of that, and it just said confirmed. There we go. If Bagan says it's real, then it's real.
Ghosts are real.
I don't agree with
you. You saw the devil last week.
Yeah. I see ghosts. I saw a ghost the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where?
I put a video up on my Instagram.
Oh, what's up? Yeah. Yes, I did see that. It was harrowing. I told you that your new house was trouble, mate. It's trouble. That's basically akin to the house in Poltergeist.
This is why
you haven't got a pool, have you?
This is why I watch the ghost news every week.
Just to keep on top of it.
See what's happening in Ghostland.
Yeah. You never know. You never know who's going to turn up.
I love the ghost news.
So Mortal Kombat, 1995. Obviously, have you seen this before you picked it, Fletch?
Of course I have.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you picked it.
Yeah.
Because you like kicking. We haven't done any action for a while, so literally coming and kicking and screaming to 2021 with Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat! All right.
Bloody hell.
Mark, were you familiar with this cinematic masterpiece?
I thought I was, but when I put it on, I hadn't actually seen it, and I've realised what I got confused with. Do you remember that YouTube video about 10 years ago where they kind of rebranded Mortal Kombat and made it more realistic in this world and shit like that?
Yeah.
I got it confused with that because that was really, really good. And this was also really, really good. I loved it.
Well, there you go. It was a nice little surprise, a little treat for you. Obviously, Mortal Kombat, this is another film that we've done that is based on a computer game. There's only one left from the big three fighting games that we haven't done because we've done Tekken. This is Mortal Kombat.
Oh, Virtua Fighter.
No, not Virtua Fighter.
Killer Instinct.
It's Street Fighter. But yeah, Mortal Kombat, 1995, a game that came out and caused outrage for its super violence.
Personally, yeah, I love Tekken, but for like Mortal Kombat style games, I was more Primal Rage.
Primal Rage. What about you, Mark? What about you?
It was all about Street Fighter 2 for me. I was very much a fan of the franchise, still am, and we should definitely do Street Fighter.
Do you want to do the animated film? It's way gayer. Have you ever seen it, Mark?
Yeah.
The animated film?
Yeah.
I'd never watched it before. I couldn't believe how gay it was.
It's a bit homoerotic.
It was proper, because you've got like Ken and Ryu, and like they're just on other sides of the world, they haven't seen each other in years, and it keeps having flashbacks of them just being naked together.
Lamenting.
Yeah, of Ken putting the headband on Ryu, and they're just like face to face like that. And at one point, Ken's just driving in his car with this hot girl that he's been with, and his sports car. He's got everything. And he's just driving along listening to Silverchair.
Right, let's get this on the list. I think we've never done an animated film for Tat Club. We should definitely get that on it.
Yeah, we should definitely look at some animated ones.
Well, I wanted to do a Transformers movie.
Yeah, the Transformers movie, but every time we put the Transformers movie on, we almost end up in tears, and we end up triumphantly fist-pumping to all of the Stan Bush in it.
Yeah. It's a very, very good film. Do you want to do G.I. Joe instead?
No, because we watched that one as well, and it's utter nonsense.
It's brilliant. You got mad because you're a douche and turned it off.
How would we explain it? And then they fly around the Statue of Liberty. Like, the first 15 minutes is just people flying all over the world.
Yeah, and it's an absolute sensory explosion.
Yeah! How am I going to portray that with my mortal lips? I can't. You need to see it with your eyes.
Okay, right, fine.
I've seen quite a few films with my eyes this week. I've got a few hipster Blu-rays on the go. I watched Zombie Flesh Eaters yesterday.
Nice.
Like that. Yeah. Troll. I watched the first Troll film the other day.
Why?
It's Well, I watched it when I was a kid and it terrified me. And obviously the only one you hear about now is Troll 2. It's absolute poppycock. Absolute poppycock. But yeah, that was good. Watch that. The second one was made by the guy that made that Alice Cooper dog film that we watched on Christmas Day. That was good.
I want to watch the Alice Cooper dog film.
You'll have to buy, you have to get like a hipster Blu-ray because it's not available. I got an import from...
Can you not lend me your hipster Blu-ray?
I have to send it through the post and that's a risk I'm not willing to take.
I've just been watching Bjork interviews.
No, for Christ's sake. Still banging on about Princess Bjork over here.
Listen.
I'm not having this more Bjork talk. I'm sick of the sound of Bjork. Bjork talk.
What? You can never get sick of the sound of Bjork.
Oh, God. Constant. This Icelandic queen is ruling you from a distance just with sound waves, Fletch. It's not healthy.
I don't understand why you don't share my enthusiasm, to be honest. And I think it's quite suspect.
I've been watching a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race, by the way. Like, a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race. I watched some All-Stars, I watched Canada's Drag Race, I watched the new queens being announced for the UK Drag Race, and there's a new series of RuPaul's Drag Race. I really like RuPaul's Drag Race. Get the new series on, it's on Netflix, and there's only the first two episodes, and Ru mixes up the format cray-cray style, and I'm all about that. It's edge-of-the-seat shit. Are you laughing at my enthusiasm for RuPaul's Drag Race?
No, I'm not.
We're not allowed to be enthusiastic about things, apparently.
I enjoy your enthusiasm about Bjork.
Yeah.
I just don't...
Fletch, come on.
Agree with it.
Don't get upset. I'm not upset. I love the fact that you love Bjork, but this is like...
I love Bjork so much. I'm going to start crying.
All right, calm down.
Bjork is in one film.
It's a sad film.
Yes. But there's a new film. There's a new film with Bjork in it. It's called Northman, and it's by Robert Eggers, the bloke who did The Lighthouse and The Witch. So it's just going to be really miserable.
Great.
Tank Girl isn't too classy for Tack Club.
Oh, no. It's got Ice-T as a space rabbit.
It's Kangaroo, fuck's sake.
Alright, fucking hell. 1995 Mortal Kombat. The games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about that. The games are still going now. There's like 11. It's up to Mortal Kombat 11. These go up to 11. They've had loads. I had one that had Freddy Krueger in it a couple of years ago. The one that came out last year, is that the one that had RoboCop and the Terminator in it? And I had the DC crossover one as well on Xbox 360. But I'm not really... I've never been any good at Mortal Kombat whatsoever. Never been any good at it. TV series as well, remember that? Conquest. It was a bit like Xena. And all the cartoons, and there was a fuck ton of movies after this one.
I only had it on Game Boy.
That was rotten.
Yeah, that's not a good version of it.
I don't know, I was dead good at it.
I've got it upstairs on the arcade machine, but I just can't do it. I just can't do it at all. At least with like Street Fighter, it's like, I think that's the one for me. I think I was more of a Street Fighter kid. And then I moved on to the Tekken when I got my PlayStation.
Who was your character on Mortal Kombat?
Well, I had Mortal Kombat 3 on the PlayStation when that one first came out, and I liked Sindel.
Oh, Sindel with her hairdo.
Yeah, yeah. And I also liked Nightwolf.
Oh!
Nightwolf. The Native American guy. Smoke.
What about you, Fletch?
So I'm just waiting for Matt to just finish naming every single character on Mortal Kombat. That's who you play as. I play the game. All the characters on it. Sub-Zero, Scorpion, Kano, Raiden, Sonya, Jax.
I probably pick Kano or Jax because I like Jax because he's got big beefy metal arms and he looks like the singer from Cameo. Word up!
Jax only had beefy metal arms from 3. He had normal person arms in 2.
Yeah, that's it.
But he was finished by someone and they ripped off his arms, so they put metal arms on him because he survived their finish him.
Fatality.
There you go, Mark, with the lore of Mortal Kombat. I remember there was a half man, half horse man in that.
Yes, he was like one of the, he was like the penultimate boss, I think.
Yeah, before you...
Kintaro.
Here he is, look. Mark,
I like fighting games.
Did you used to watch the Channel 5 series, Conquest?
I didn't. The thing is, right, I like the games, but I haven't watched much of the TAT, I'll be honest.
Well, clearly not. I've seen this one, and I've seen the second one. The second one is ludicrous, the second Mortal Kombat film.
Spoilers, the only time I tend to watch TAT these days is if you tell me what TAT to watch. So,
I'll watch these films if you tell me to. Incidentally, my favourites were Baraka and Scorpion. I mainly liked Scorpion because his finish him was the easiest.
And Baraka, he was the one with the big blade hands, wasn't he?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I always liked the rangy characters in fighting games, so I liked Dalsim in Street Fighter 2, and I liked Baraka because obviously with the blades, he was quite rangy.
Got a good reach on him.
Indeed.
Fire! Techno! Mortal Kombat!
Did you want me to finish it? Because I can't remember it. But that did earn a love art. I did like the rave intro. It was proper 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah. I love it because a little breakdown where it's all like bam, 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 and it's just the voice of the game just naming the character. Sonya Blade, Liu Kang, Scorpion.
It's really good. But from that high-octane fire logo intro, Liu Kang is dreaming of the evil Shang Tsung because he vanquished his brother back at the Temple of Light. His brother's soul now belongs to him. He wakes up from this nightmare in America in a neon green room and he picks up a telegram straight to the point. Brother dead, come home.
Sorted.
You know, you're always going on about the Tat River and actors that play different shit in different shit.
Mm-hmm.
Shang Tsung is the granddad in Johnny Tsunami.
He's also the same character, basically, in Tekken. He's the bad lad in Tekken.
He's Heihachi Mishima.
Well, yes, but what I'm saying is the granddad in Johnny Tsunami is very different to Shang Tsung. He's kind of like a lovable bum granddad, which I thought was lovely. And then I watched this tat, and yeah, he's evil, and that hurt me.
Oh, mate, he's proper evil. You can tell because he's got a long leather jacket on.
Yeah, and what about Liu Kang? Robin Hsu?
Tell me about Robin Hsu.
He was in Beverly Hills Ninja.
Gosh.
Is that not Chris Farley's greatest work?
it is Chris Farley's great. Is it Chris Farley's greatest work?
No, it's not, no. Hong Kong! Sonya Blade is after Kano. Kano is a cockney robot I-Man, and he's hiding out at a metal gig. Sonya's just going through the crowd, just boshing street punks that are there, enjoying the rock at the gig.
I thought he was Australian.
Oh, no, you're getting him confused with Gary Daniels.
No, Gary Daniels is from London.
He's a cockney.
But Kano's not played by Gary Daniels.
No, he's not played by Danny Daniels. No, he's not played by Gary Daniels. You're right, Mark. Robot face cockney man.
He's not is he a cockney?
Is it? Look it up. He's a cockney. He's like, man, I've a brand. I've only got one eye. But the other one is red and it's poking out my face. Ah, you can't.
God, he's from Croydon.
He's from Croydon. There you go.
He's rough as arseholes.
You can see it. You can see it in his remaining human eye. He's there because Shang Tsung has got a plan.
Sorry. Can I stop you there?
Okay.
Looking at the trivia for Trevor Goddard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's from he's from Perth.
Oh, so he's Australian?
Well,
he's Australian with a Cockney accent.
No, wait. No, because he's got an Australian accent.
He's the anti-Daniels, that's what he is. He's from Australia and he sounds like a Cockney, whereas Daniels, Cockney, sounds like an Australian.
Oh, wait. Here we go. While Goddard's official biography listed his place of birth as Perth, Australia, and the year as either 1966 or 1965, his parents, Eric and Clara Goddard, Bexhill-on-Sea, East Sussex, in July of 2003, came forward to state that Trevor was in fact born in Sussex, England. His date of birth was 1962, and Trevor's claims to being a reformed criminal from Australia were in fact a fabrication. He was able to fool many into believing his London accent was an Australian one and edged out many authentic Australian actors for roles.
Excellent.
Fuck me.
Well, I'm really glad you looked that up. That's a little gem, that was. So he is the real Gary Daniels. He's from Sussex, but he talks with an Australian accent to get jobs. He's just Gary Daniels. Maybe that's why Gary Daniels... Fucking hell, Trev, how are you getting all this work?
Fuck me.
Shang Tsung is using Kano the Cockney as bait to get her on this creepy pirate ship.
I'm liking this bit. Everyone's just saying each other's names. So what do you think, Shang Tsung from the game?
Speaking of characters from the game, what about the shaded, besuited Johnny Cage? Johnny Cage is a Hollywood kickman.
but everyone thinks he's a big faker. That's the talk of the martial arts world.
Clearly the character in the game was based on Jean-Claude Van Damme. Why the hell didn't they cast Jean-Claude Van Damme?
He was in Street Fighter.
Street Fighter, mate.
Already been there, got him, can't do it. It's the rules. Now, Johnny's movie fight scene, he fights a room full of business douches with sticks. Let's dance. And then they do dance with sticks and feet and fists. But one of the extras, don't go down. This is where you fall down. And then the guy falls down. Where are you getting these guys from? While he's complaining to the director, who looks suspiciously like Steven Spielberg, up on a thing over there. Oh my lord, it's Master Boyd. Master Boyd has been in the river, guys. He's the guy that sent Kurt Russell to LA in Escape from LA. He was the duty sergeant in that. But yeah, he's reading a martial arts magazine. Front page news, guys. Johnny Cage is a fake. Like I said, it's the talk of the martial arts world. But Master Boyd is going to help Cage prove that he is not a fake with a big fat mystical kumite. The tournament of tournaments held once a generation, Mortal Kombat.
So nobody believes that he's a really good martial artist?
No.
And this guy's like, I know that you're the best martial artist in the world.
Yeah.
So why don't you just fight someone?
I don't know.
Why does he have to travel to another mystical
Boyd,
world?
It's Master Boyd. If your sensei turns up, you get on the boat. Hong Kong tomorrow, there's a big creepy pirate ship. Make sure you're on it.
Just literally fight someone. Just fight someone.
Get on the boat.
There's no film crew for this Mortal Kombat, so there's no proof that he'll have done anything when he gets back.
That's true. I didn't film it.
What a stupid film.
There's holes in this. To get to the tournament, you have to get a big creepy pirate ship that's going to be turning up in Hong Kong tomorrow. Master Boyd walks away, and in fact, he is the kick wizard Shang Tsung, evil shapeshifter man, as he walks away. Next shot is in the Temple of Light, China. Liu Kang arrives by boat, come back from America. He's greeted by a load of monks, like in the background of one of the levels. And his granddad's there, his granddad's King of the Monks. Liu Kang looks upon the place where his brother's life was taken by the evil kick wizard, Shang Tsung. And he's doing some powerful, powerful mullet work. Louis is in this film. He's got good, powerful hair.
Okay, I like a mullet.
I also enjoy a mullet. Liu Kang's hair is worth mentioning, I agree. In fact, retroactive love heart for Liu Kang's hair. Why not?
Grandfather is just, he's full of talk of the tournament and superstitions. And Liu says, men fighting in a simple contest do not decide the fate of the world, Grandfather. The only reason that he would go into Mortal Kombat is to fight the man that killed his brother in true kumite style. That's the only time you should ever go into a tournament. Is to fight the man that killed your brother, father, wife, whatever. Get on that boat. Liu Kang is casting dispersions on his grandfather's whole beliefs and knowledge. People sort their differences out by a universal kick fighting competition. A gong bangs, bong. Everyone's like, oh, what's going on? A mystical man enters. Lord Raiden is played by Christophe Lambert. Are you still running away from your destiny? He's got the same voice as he's got in Highlander.
Excuse me, the endless charisma of Chris Lambert transcends borders.
Transcends accents.
Christopher Lambert is a terrible fucking actor.
Well, we'll see, shall we, Mark? We'll see. We can't turn him off.
Turn him off.
Okay. Liu Kang doesn't believe that this is the God of Thunder. He's like, this is not the God of Thunder and Lightning. He's just a beggar. A Scottish beggar. Judo throw. Chucks Liu Kang on the floor. And he looks up at him and he's got electric eye. Lightning. And he says, why didn't you protect my brother? Why didn't you? He might be the God of Thunder and Lightning, but this time he's the God of Hellfire with a tasty, tasty burn. Because it's true. Where was Liu Kang? He'd gone after the Yankee Doodle Dandy Dollar. That's where he'd gone.
This was the exact impression of the character Raiden that I got from the video games, was that he was a bit sassy.
He's very sassy.
Christopher Lambert is playing Christopher Lambert.
Do you know, I was listening to Body Count the other day. So good.
I went to see Body Count about 5 years ago. He's still coming out in his bulletproof vest. Starting the set with Cop Killer.
Excellent.
Hong Kong! It's boat time, lads. Johnny Cage, Liu Kang and Sonya Blade all meet up and get on like a house on fire. Instant bans. That is after Liu chucks Johnny's bags in the sea. Thank God I didn't ask him to park the car. That is the type of bans we are dealing with straight off. Like that. Boom! Chemistry. fire.
It's like the beginning of Enter the Dragon.
Oh my god, I saw you in London, guy that's not in the game. The ship arrives. It's a smoky, foggy pirate ship with a big dragon head.
I remember that dragon head.
Fog.
I remember that logo.
Fog.
My stepdad had it on the side of his Subaru.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Nice.
We hacked.
There's bin fires everywhere at this port, and there's also a lot of people angle grinding in the dark. That's how you know it's a bad part of town. I mean, you've been to Hong Kong. Is it like that?
Yeah. I don't know what you expected me to say there, but yeah, yeah, it's totally like that.
Okay.
No, that's fine then.
And all of China's like that.
All of China's like that?
Yeah, because there's like no health and safety there. So I'll be walking down the street and there'll just be someone just welding on a rail next to the pavement.
A pair of shorts?
Yeah, a pair of shorts. I saw a bloke with like a burlap sack and he threaded some sunglasses through it to wear over his face whilst he was welding. Well, he looked like just a bloke who just walked up and started welding.
We talked about chemistry, but here's some there's more chemistry in this screen. The chemistry of love between Cage and Blade. Instant. I can see these guys having a future. There's no time for romance. There's no time for bants because, oh shit, Scorpion and Sub-Zero are here. They are the deadliest of enemies, but slaves under the power of Shang Tsung. Sub-Zero freezes Sonya's gun, snaps it. Do you remember Glacier from WCW?
No, nobody remembers Glacier.
Oh, I do.
No.
No? There was also that other one that they did that was like Mortal Kombat. It was his Mortis. It was like a green Glacier. Scorpion has got robot arm things like an evil Inspector Gadget with bitey ends made out of CGI that come out of his palms and get over here! And they fly all over the place.
The guy who voiced him is the same guy from all the games.
Is it?
Yeah, and he wrote this film.
Did he really?
Good grief.
Oh my god, you're dropping knowledge casually. Oh, is that yours?
Also, I think Tony Jaa was uncredited for this film. I think it was this one. Mm. And he did some of the Scorpion bits. Mm. It was either that one or one of the sequels. I liked it. I remember when I was a kid watching this and it comes out of his hand and it's like this little, it looks like something off Beetlejuice. It's got this little face on it. And I remember as a kid seeing that and thinking, oh, so that's what it is. So that's what it is that you see on the game. It just felt like they'd revealed something that I didn't know about the games. You know what I mean?
Raiden appears as Eye Lightning and he saves our heroes from Mr. Yellow Ninja and Mr. Blue Ninja. They've all got, if they're just sworn enemies, why are they wearing the same gimmick? Why have all these people got the same costume on? On the foggy deck of the pirate ship, Raiden fills our heroes in with the whole situation. They've been chosen to defend the realm of Earth because there's loads of different realms, one of which is Outworld. That's the evil realm that wants to take over Earth realm, turn it into a fire-filled demon statue hellscape. And the only way they can do that is by winning this Mortal Kombat tournament, because if they win 10 in a row, they get the prize of Earth. And it's tournament number 9 has just gone, lads. It's tournament number 10 now. A handful of people on the leaky boat are going to save the world? Exactly, says the Highlander. Exactly. He says, one of you three will win. I've looked into your souls and I've had a peek, but I'm not going to tell you which one it is because I want to keep it a bit like X Factor or something like that. But it's one of you. You're going to boot camp.
Oh, so it's a foregone conclusion.
That was exactly my thoughts. You've kind of like ruined it and everybody knows that the goodies are going to win now.
Yeah, way to destroy all of the stakes in this film immediately.
Exactly.
It has begun. Fog skull in the sky. Ghosts fly around Shang Tsung like a small quickening on the boat. And they don't know where they are. They're like, what is this mystical... What is this mystical land? What's going on? But Liu Kang says, I don't know. But what if the legends are true? And they look up at giant winding steps, up a gothic mountain full of fire and scary statues. Stone ungodly warriors from other realms flank the walkways. There's lots of fire. There's a lady there, Princess Katana, sitting around having what looks like a picnic amongst all the evil statues and fire. She's thousands of years old. She's just here to, you know, she's just there. One of the statues is Reptile, Shang Tsung's monster spy made out of bad CGI. The bad CGI goblin. He's a bad CGI goblin, basically, isn't he?
It looks like something off Reboot.
It also reminded me, the CGI in this reminded me of the big robots at the end of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, when Ivan Ooze turns into a big Megazord. Very similar. It's all very similar to Temple of Doom as well, the set. The fighters sit down for a big meal, big lovely spread, like a buffet, scotch eggs, the lot, everything. And then we get a grand topless display of beef. Sub-Zero leads a load of beefy thugs in, and they all flip over the tables, there's snacks everywhere, and Shang Tsung demands a beefy demonstration. He says, welcome to Mortal Kombat, have a look at what you got to fight with. The beefiest guard squares up to Sub-Zero, and all that. He does a flying kick, but he gets frozen in mid-air, turns into ice, smashed to bits at the feet of Shang Tsung. Flawless victory.
Breezy CGI was fine, and flawless victory, because I'm a massive fucking Mortal Kombat mark, did of course earn a love heart of recognition.
They didn't, they have all of the fatalities and stuff in this. They say all of the phrases that they say at the end of a match, apart from friendship. They didn't do that one.
Friendship or babality.
Babality.
Friendship.
Babality was always a favourite of mine in the game. I did like to turn people into babies for no good reason.
Yeah, just turn them into a babby. Our three heroes follow Shang Tsung into the caves. Finally, Sonya has eyes on Kano. He's down there having a medieval banquet with the current reigning and defending champion, Prince Goro. He's a four-armed big puppet bastard. And he's sitting on a big double deluxe throne because he got four arms for his extra arms. And he's just watching Kano being a cockney slob, just chomping down turkey legs and drinking wine out of a big goblet. He's a disgusting man. He finds him so distasteful that he chucks a goblet of wine at him and tells him, go home, you uncouth shitbag. This is my kingdom, you cockney barra boy. The three heroes end up wandering around because Johnny Cage says he knows which way Princess Katana went because he can smell her perfume. He can't. They go from a blue room into a spider red room, back into the throne room down the bottom. Techno, thugs, we got company. Mortal Kombat, plays again. It plays a lot. And they fight the thugs with a fuck ton of kicks. Slow motion kicking, running up the wall, leg sweeps, Mortal Kombat.
Don't forget the bow staff and the assisted clothesline.
That was my favourite part. That and the double kick off the throne from Liu Kang. Very good work.
I very much enjoyed it, and that scene earned a love heart for its kickery.
The tournament begins. The first match is TJ Storm.
I know.
Yeah.
He's been on the show before.
He has, yeah.
He was McGinty in Punisher Warzone. He also did the mocap for Godzilla,
yeah,
in the 2014 Godzilla film.
This is where you get the fucking bow staff battle. I'm sure you're all over this one, Mark.
Love heart.
Liu Kang wins, obviously, and Shang Tsung takes TJ's soul. Fatality.
That was well asked, that was. In the game, you don't have to kill someone. You can choose not to. You could have friendship.
Yeah, friendship.
What's his name? Nightwolf.
Nightwolf.
He just start juggling his axes.
Ah.
One of them, I can't remember who it was. You know, like that paper chain of like people holding hands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone made one of them. Might have been Sonya, but don't quote me.
The next match of the tournament is Sonya Blade versus Cockney Robot Man Kano. Hello, baby. Did you miss me? Apples and pears. Cool, blimey, Gavner, have a cup of tea. You can't. And he comes
the
out.
The thing about Kano is that at this point, no music played. This was a perfect wrestling entrance moment, and he should have come out to something like, I don't know, some kind of 90s new metal.
Give it up, baby. I've studied all your moves. Sonya says, study this, and the fight is on. And she just kills him straight away. Snaps his neck in minutes with her powerful legs. And he says, give me a break. She says, okay, snap. Kano's gone. First fight he gets into, dead within 2 minutes. The next match, though, is Johnny Cage fighting Scorpion in the woods. Get over here!
Yes, yeah. I love this, because they have a fight and then go to hell.
Well, they get transported to a Temple of Doom-style hellscape.
Yes, the thing is, I've seen this film so many times, right? And I forget this every single time I watch it up until this scene and it happens. And then I remember, Fear Factory comes on.
I was going to say, when I was watching it, is this Fear Factory?
It's fucking, yeah. Every time I forget that happens, and then it gets to that bit, in the film, and I'm like, I fucking Fear Factory are in this film.
I fucking love Fear Factory.
When I was a kid, I had so much Fear Factory stuff. Fear Factory was my Bjork when I was a teenager.
Bernsey Bell was your Bjork.
Yeah, I loved him so much. I had this picture of me with the drummer, and I had like this neon sign imported from Japan that had the Fear Factory logo on it. I had their DVD. I had a couple of their DVDs.
Yeah.
I had all the Digipak albums, you know, like the special ones with the extra tracks on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, with like Gary Numan on it and stuff like that.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So you liked Fear Factory, did you, Fletch?
I did.
Beyond Fear Factory being cool and the soundtrack for this fight, Metal Gymnastics, which I liked, you know. And I also liked the fact that he was an R-rated Captain America at one point as well. Lot to love about this fight scene.
It was good. There was a lot of good kicking, a lot of good
flipping. Love art.
It was a good fight. Ending up with Scorpion pulling his own face off to reveal a fiery-eyed skull that then breathes fire at Johnny Cage. He picks up a shield to deflect the fire and then chucks a spear at Scorpion, and he bursts into flames. He runs up to him with the shield, chops the top of his head off like a dippy egg. His head explodes. As he's running away, his entire body explodes. A signed photo of Johnny Cage lands next to the carnage.
Beautiful. This first round, right? Liu Kang has a fight on a beach. Sonya has a fight in like a sort of strange little dojo thing.
Yeah.
Johnny Cage has a fight in hell. Yes. The three of them, Johnny Cage has the worst fucking ride. Poor fuck.
He really does, though, doesn't he?
Well, that's it. Yeah, he does. He gets dragged through multiple dimensions when he's having his fights.
Surely that to make this fucking contest fair, he should have had a fight on a beach rather than hell.
Well, speaking of things being unfair and fighting on beaches, the next match of the show is Liu Kang versus Princess Katana in a pointless match on the beach where she just gives him tips about how to beat Sub-Zero, who's fighting next. Like, there's no stakes in that match. No. Nobody wins. To win, use the element that brings life. Remember my words.
And it makes no sense because in the previous match, in the same fucking location, Shang Tsung had murdered the guy that lost to Liu Kang because Liu Kang wouldn't kill him. So why didn't he murder fucking Katana?
He just says, I'm very disappointed with you. The monks lead Liu Kang into a blue room in which Raiden has previously been in and dropped off a few convenient buckets of life-giving water beforehand.
Cool.
Yeah. It is cool, Fletch. It's ice cold in here. Lou and Sub-Zero. Sub-Zero comes down the stairs like the start of Stars in their eyes. Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to knock your fucking neck in.
That's what I thought as well, because there was so much dry ice.
That's how he lives. He needs it foggy. He needs it cold.
Yeah.
He kicks the shit out of Liu Kang. He's getting his ass kicked. Sub-Zero starts summoning his ice chi, an ice dome of power around him. Princess Katana pops up, bearing in mind she was here 2 minutes ago in the last scene, reminded Liu Kang what she said about 2 minutes ago. Remember my words. And he goes, oh yeah, the thing that gives life, water. So he swings a bucket of water around his head, and he chucks the water, which turns into an ice spear in the air, impales Sub-Zero, he turns to ice and then dies. It's time for Prince Goro to lace up his boots, and then we get a montage of him just kicking the shit out of a load of faceless guys in geese. The next match is Prince Goro versus Art Lean. Art Lean, who's that exactly? He's Johnny's mate who he met at the docks at the start of the film. He said, I saw you fight in London, you're Art Lean, you're not in the game, you're really good, but we need someone to die so that we've got Ruenge. So get in the ring and fight the four-armed caped puppet man. And he does. And he gets punched to death with his giant extra hands. Flawless victory. Tick.
Was it at this point that Shang Tsung said, the rules are quite clear?
Yeah, but they're not.
And the rules are not clear in any way, shape or fucking form. There's no league, there's no brackets. I can't see how this tournament works. The rules are not clear.
I forgot to mention that when he sucks up the soul this time, Shang Tsung sucks the soul through his eyeball. Mm. Straight into his eye. And everyone goes, no!
He
He's like Eyeball Paul.
Our heroes are afeared, but Raiden tells them that mortals can beat Goro and Shang Tsung. No matter how bizarre their powers may be, there is always a way. But first, you must beat your own fears. Johnny Cage, fake. Fake as they come. People think you're fake. You need to prove them wrong. Sonya, you're afraid to trust people. You keep saying that if I wanted backup, I would have called for it. You're doing that banter for a reason. You're projecting. Let them in. And Liu Kang, you're only here for Ruwenge. You don't believe in the whole thing your granddad's been teaching you for years about fighting for the fate of the universe. You just want to kill the man who killed your brother. You sort yourselves out. Think about it. Now, during this short time, Johnny Cage and Sonya have fallen in love. They have. You need to be careful out there. And she says, don't you dare do this for me, Johnny Cage. He says, trust me, I've got a plan. But his plan is to go and challenge Goro now. So he goes to see Shang Tsung. He's like, I need to do it. I want to make a deal with you. People think I'm fake. So I'm going to be a hero now. And I want to fight the four-armed monster man now. Yeah, you can. But if you do that, I get to fight the winner in a background of my choice. I get to choose the arena on this one. He's like, yeah, let me in. I'm going to do it. Let's do it.
So like I say, this isn't a fucking tournament. There's no brackets. There's no league. And if someone says I want to fight this guy, Shang Tsung goes, yeah, right.
But Raiden's really annoyed. He's like, what? What have you done? Goro versus Cage. And they're all like in a square surrounded by baying fighters. He's really winding up the crowd. There's a couple of riled up twins that just keep screaming at each other in the crowd all the way through this film. They're amazing. Johnny Cage enters the arena. He removes his sunglasses and Goro takes his sunglasses, his $500 sunglasses, and he crushes them with no regard whatsoever for his Hollywood lifestyle. Johnny Cage does the split, punches him in the dick, runs off up the hill. There you go. He does the Jean-Claude Van Damme move from the game.
I did enjoy the dick punch, that earned a love heart.
The crowd start chanting, finish him, finish him! And the four-armed monster follows Cage into the caves. I love that. I enjoy a puppet.
I loved all of the bits with Goro.
It looked really
Goro
good.
Goro looked amazing.
Yeah, I love a good physical puppet.
I was pleasantly surprised by how good Goro was as well. I particularly enjoyed his I've just been punched in the balls face.
Oh, you bugger! Yeah. It is a good all your bugger face.
Yeah.
That's because it's a puppet and it's better than the CG.
It's brilliant. Goro is like this centrepiece of this film.
He is. I like the bit in the fights, when they've done the long shots in the fights that Goro's in, and it's clearly someone running around, because they've got somebody running around with a big floppy Goro costume on top of them, and I love that. He's just running about with a big floppy four-arm beast on him. It's great. Absolutely love it.
Like one of them T-Rex suits you could see people in.
Yeah, like... yeah.
Goro is a tough thing to put into a film.
Yeah.
A really tough thing. And it is done, credit where credit's due, it is done really, really well.
They fight on a ledge. And Johnny Cage says, they were $500 glasses. $500! And he kicks him off the ledge. And he's hanging by one of his arms. This is where you fall down. Ugh! Get down, you faceless bad lad. Get into the abyss. Gone.
Chalk up another epic win for
Johnny Cage.
Johnny Cage compared to, like, wins for Liu Kang and Sonya.
How did he...
Cage is, like, the hero here, surely.
How did he get out of hell?
Yeah, how did he get out of hell?
Good point, how did he get out of hell?
Although, maybe he didn't, because they're supposed to just be on this island somewhere.
Yeah.
And now they're on this ledge, he's just veering into, like, oblivion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just clouded oblivion just below them that Goro falls to. They're not on that island anymore, so I reckon Johnny Cage is just in hell forever.
In hell? Shang Tsung is super pissed off by all this, so he grabs Sonya and he goes, right, the next match I'm going to fight Sonya, and I'm dragging her into a portal. I'm taking her to a different part. He's taking her to the Emperor's Castle, which is on the outskirts of Outworld. For plot reasons, Raiden's not allowed in there, so he's not allowed in. So he's like, you guys are going to have to go on your own. Hopefully you may find another guide. I wonder who the other guide may be that you may find. And he sends off Cage and Kang. Outworld is full of fire, wreckage, and giant stone beasts with people inside them. Shang Tsung has taken Sonia, to the big castle at the end of the set. You can see it up there. Big castle. But wait, what's this? Liu Kang grabs the camouflaged CGI spy monster from the wall. And he's like, look, I found reptile. He chucks it into one of the statues. Tendrils grab the CGI demon into its belly. Reptile. Techno builds and he kicks that Liu Kang through a wall and the fight is on. We've got Liu versus Reptile now.
So I feel like it's supposed to be this reveal that actually it was Reptile all along.
Yeah.
And then it feels like they kind of bottled it and went, can we just have a unbodied voice just go Reptile when he jumps in?
I completely agree, but I think people want this to be like the game, and Reptile is part of how the game does.
So it's like someone had just selected him.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly that.
But the fight finishes. They go through walls. They're fighting in different rooms.
You know what? Why did they always have a clock, a timer on the...
Didn't they get rid of the timer when it ended up being that there were like 50 or 60 characters to pick from?
I don't know, because I haven't played that many apart from the DC one, but there was a fuck ton of people on the DC one. Anyway, the match finishes with a big multi-kick finisher. Reptile turns back to stone because of the power of the kicks. He falls to the ground, smashes open, and he's full of worms.
I really liked the explosion into bugs. I really liked that. I thought that was very cool. This fight was great. It had a super Hurricane Rana. But I do have one question. This fight lasted about two and a half minutes. Where was Johnny Cage?
Yeah, where's Johnny Cage?
It's mano a mano. It's Mortal Kombat. Them's the rules, bro.
We've already established that the rules are quite flexible.
Well, this wasn't a tournament fight, though, was it? He found this guy spying on him, then kicked the shit out of him.
Yeah, but they're the good guys, Mark. You don't see Clint Eastwood shoot a guy in the back.
Mm. Honour, Mark, honour. He's proven it's not fake. He's got to go through with it. He's made that first step by doing all the best heroic fights in the film.
Also, while I'm pointing out weirdness in the Outlands, Johnny Cage is absolutely shit scared of the Outlands. He's literally just beaten the fuck out of Goro and had a fight in hell.
Yeah.
Why is he scared of this?
Yeah, he's the fucking most badass dude in this film. What the fuck?
I don't care, by the way. I love this film. I've enjoyed every second of it. Fucking throwing out love arts willy-nilly for the fight scenes. But the plot is questionable.
Yeah. Princess Kitana arrived because she's the guide that's going to take him to the Black Tower. Within the Black Tower, you will face three challenges. Your enemy, yourself, and your worst fear. Inside the Black Tower, Sonya's tied up, now had a full costume change into a skimpy leather costume and poofed up 90s porn hair. Did they blow dry her hair against her will?
Yeah.
A procession
it's
of...
It's like when Bond gets captured.
And they do him up.
And yeah, and they're like, I hope you like your new attire, Bond.
You look really nice tonight, Mr. Bond. Prepare to die. A procession of monks enters and stand around the giant Mortal Kombat logo that's on the floor, on the arena floor. Shang Tsung has challenged Sonya to a scrap, but if she refuses, Earth forfeits, Outworld wins, therefore, game over. Someone played your sick game. He says, but there is nobody else. My friends will come for me. You got one last chance, Sonya, to fight me in Mortal Kombat. And she says, no, go to hell. Take her away. Sonya's friends are there, disguised in monk costumes, and they reveal themselves. Shang Tsung says, seize them, like Skeletor.
He looks like Skeletor in a bit as well.
He does, yeah. But Princess Kitana steps in and reminds Shang Tsung of the rules of Mortal Kombat. She's like, I've been watching you all day, and you've been changing the rules willy-nilly. I tell you what she does. She goes, hold on, player. She pulls a Teddy Long. But Shang Tsung does not want to go one-on-one with The Undertaker or have a tag match tonight. He wants to challenge Johnny Cage.
For fuck's sake, Malachi.
But Liu Kang disrobes. He says, no, you'll fight me.
I am Liu Kang. You've met me, Grandad. I now believe all of this voodoo nonsense and I choose to battle you in mortal combat. He says, I accept. Leave us. And all the monks, get out. Get out. I will take care of this mortal myself. Shang Tsung takes off his bad guy leather jacket and the monks file out. Techno starts playing, building up. Test your might. Test your might. Test your might. Mortal Kombat! We should have had a drinking game watching this film. Drink every time they say Mortal Kombat.
I don't play drinking games.
Oh, did you not?
No.
I'm not drinking anymore.
Okay. Last time I did that, I got really drunk and I threw a steak pasty at someone.
Is it hot?
No.
Oh, you have to be careful.
It was late at night, well, so that's no. It. No. Like, where would you get hot pasty from at that time?
Greg's, nighttime Greg's.
They didn't have nighttime Greggs at the time.
Liu Kang versus Shang Tsung. The first exchange results in Shang Tsung's lip bleeding and he mops it aside and he looks at his own blood and he's like, you fucking what, mate? He said, now he's angry, he's like, you fool! And then Shang Tsung calls upon the souls of 1,000 dead warriors. Face your enemy. A giant horned skull ghost like flies out of the Mortal Kombat logo in the floor and warriors jump out of the floor, one of which is an uncredited Gerald Okamura pops out from Big Trouble in Little China. He's all over the place.
Yeah.
Uncredited, but he's there with two Klingon weapons. There's people, warriors from throughout time. He's got two batliths and there's a samurai, there's a dusty old samurai there. He dispatches of all of them relatively easily, you know, as Shang Tsung watches all the time in fighting stance, in ready stance. The dusty samurai is the last one to fall. I can see your soul and you shall die. Now you have to face yourself. It's the second challenge. And this turns out you don't have to actually physically fight yourself like you do in all the arcade games. No, you just have to come to terms with his own mind. He goes, yeah, you can look into my soul. But it's my soul, so I have now got my brain in order. Next, face your worst fear. Shang Tsung is a master of disguise, remember, and he turns into Liu Kang's dead brother. Raiden sent me to help you. He says, no, you're not Chan. You're not Chan. Liu is confused. The trickery of the mind. He's not just a wizard of kicks. He's a wizard of the mind. Blades are coming out of the floor while all this trickery is going on. Out of the Mortal Kombat logo, below them on the arena floor. But Liu will not fall for this wizard's tricks. He knows it's not Chan. It can't be. He says, Shang Tsung killed my brother. And he morphs back into Shang Tsung. And he says, you're mine. But Liu is the chosen one. He overpowers Shang Tsung with a big massive gut punch, then delivers multiple punches and then does his finishing move from the game. Flawless victory. And the villain falls on the spiky blades below, releasing all the souls that he had captured over the millions of years he's been alive, including Brother Chan. And he says, I knew you'd come. I am the real Chan and you have set me free. Thank you, Liu Kang. Thank you. And our heroes think it's all over. They walk out. That's it. Raiden's there waiting. He's going, what took you so long? And they're like, it's all over. It's not all over because a giant hologram appears in the sky of the Emperor. Bow to me. I don't think so. Ready stance. Mortal Kombat. The end.
Oh, yeah. It was Shao Kahn that looked like Skeletor, not fucking Shang Tsung. I got myself confused there. I got excited when you said Skeletor.
He was in Fright Night 2. And he was also in Cobra. What was he in Cobra?
The Night Slasher. I don't think it was him yet.
Oh, right.
I think in the next films. Yeah, I don't think they cast him.
Oh, no,
just to stand there at the end.
No. Shao Kahn is in fact the bug-eating sidekick of the sexy vampire queen from Fright Night 2. And he's also the Night Slasher.
He's the Night Slasher.
He's the Night Slasher. So there we go. I think we will do Retaliation. We'll have to do Retaliation, which carries on.
Don't say that. You say we're going to do stuff all the time on the podcast that we never do. So stop it.
Well, we do. I say we're going to do it. We'll do it. We're obviously going
to... Really? You said we were going to do the next Tekken film as well.
Oh, I watched
it. Disease Revenge.
Yeah, I watched it and it was terrible.
You said we were going to do Voodoo Academy.
Well, we are going to do Voodoo Academy.
That proves my point. It's on the list. Anyway, what did you think to 1995's Mortal Kombat, Fletcher? Tell me about it.
It was all right, wasn't it?
It was all right, wasn't it? You picked it. You raging about it.
I did not pick
you
it.
You did pick this one.
I think you're gaslighting me. I haven't picked one in ages, and I reckon you've just chosen this one.
No.
And then said, no, you picked it. You picked it.
Because you were like, oh, we haven't done a film with kicking in it in ages.
And and then you went, let's do Mortal Kombat.
No, and then you said, I'm watching Mortal Kombat. Let's do that.
No, I didn't. I was watching Mortal Kombat. Because I was watching Mortal Kombat.
Doesn't matter. You picked it. What did you think to it? You enjoyed it.
Did you choose Mortal Kombat because I'd already watched it? So you didn't have to make sure I'd watch it. Yeah,
but you've seen it. It's imprinted in your brain.
Yeah, it's got Fear Factory in it.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not going to forget it. So you clearly enjoyed it. You're just kicking off for no reason. Mark, thoughts?
I did get quite cross that it said this is a tournament and then it wasn't a tournament. But I don't actually care. The plot is absolutely shite. There are more plot holes than Swiss cheese. But it was a lot of fun with lots and lots of fun fighty scenes with kicking and bow staffs and good looking Johnny Cage and fun gore. Yeah, I loved it.
There are zero plot holes in this film. name me one plot hole from this film.
The rules.
The rules.
What rules?
You know the rules.
Name me one plot hole.
The chosen one should be the one that proves themselves the most. Johnny Cage looked the most badass. Liu Kang had the final fight. It's full of shit. Don't care.
Well, I think that might be a matter of opinion there, really, isn't it?
Hair drying someone's hair, making it all poofy against their will.
How is that a plot hole? That's not a plot hole. That's just an implied scene. It's like when Batman goes down the pole and he comes out dressed as Batman at the bottom. Maybe they went through one of them. You don't know.
All right, okay.
The theme was dead good, maybe, though, wasn't it?
That is one of the tasty gems about this film, is it pumps you up. This is a gym. You could just listen to the soundtrack at the gym, but you won't be able to freeze water and spear people at the gym. I wouldn't do that. Pull anyone's face off.
It's not what I listen to at the gym.
What do you listen to at the gym?
Bjork.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I listen to audiobooks at the gym.
Can you hear that?
Can you hear that? The kids next door doing karaoke.
No.
Sounds like Voices of the Dead. Thank you for joining us this week on Super Tap Film Club. Please don't forget to like, subscribe and do all the stuff that we always tell you to do. We have got a Patreon. If you want to give us a couple of quid, head over to our Patreon and do that. That would be lovely, because when you've done it before, we bought a microphone that we're using. So yeah, chuck us a couple of quid. Check out our friends' podcast, and please join us next week. We're going back to a canon. We're doing a canon, guys.
We are
doing a canon film, and we're doing another movie adaptation.
Oh, I know what it is.
What is it?
It's He-Man.
Well,
that was my choice.
It is your choice.
So you'll give him his choices.
He chose it. Oh my God, I'm not right. Yes, join us next week when we do Masters of the Universe.
Favouritism. It's not absolute favouritism. This... What has he got that I don't?
Forget it. We'll see you next Tuesday. Masters of the Universe.
Cunt. You just said cunt.